I love a beautiful lawn. You love a beautiful lawn. Everybody loves a beautiful lawn, but they don't love how long it takes and how difficult it can be. And that is where True Green comes into play because it's the easiest and most affordable way to get that beautiful lawn. Let's be real. You've got plenty of other things to do in your free time than focus on your lawn care. So let True Green take care of all of that hard work while you get to do everything else that you want to do, like go play golf. Here's what you need to do. Visit truegreen.com, okay? It allows you to do you. Let them do the lawn care. And if you visit truegreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people, that is all guaranteed. You can trust True Green to give you the best lawn because they are the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. They offer a satisfaction guarantee and they have a verified best price promise, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. It's truegreen.com. Get started now. The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. And that's because the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe has some great features like the available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, available dual wireless charging pads, and much, much more. So think about those places that you want to go, the things that you'd like to do this weekend, and where the Santa Fe can take you. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. It offers flexible spending capacity that adapts to your business. You can also earn up to $395 in annual statement credits on eligible purchases at select business merchants. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
Freaking first cut. Golly.
Welcome to the First Cut Podcast. I'm Rick Gaiman, and this is your round two recap for this week's Houston Open. Joining me to break it all down, Patrick McDonald is here. Patrick, good evening. Happy Friday.
Good evening, Rick. You got anything fun on the docket after we get off this thing?
I'm actually going to my parents' house for taco night.
Oh, okay. Okay. That is fun.
So big plans.
Yeah, I'm with it.
What about you?
I got an invite to hang out with a few people, but I'm kind of weighing it. I'm at this kind of the point with, you know, I'm in some friend groups that I really have no business being in these friend groups. They're into some stuff I'm not quite into, but I enjoy getting the invitations, but I'm saying no so much that I'm afraid the invitations are going to stop soon. So I have to say yes the correct amount of times to kind of keep getting them, you know?
You're going to need a courtesy yes at some point. You're going to need to show up, probably make an early Irish exit, but at least, hey, you were there. You're still being extended the opportunity.
Exactly. So I'm kind of weighing that right now internally.
Okay. Well, hopefully none of those people watch the show because now they'll be knowing that you're considering flaking out again.
Yeah, it could be they won't know. I don't think they're live viewers. They won't know until they tune in early tomorrow morning.
Yeah, they're like, oh, Patrick didn't show up again last night. I wonder why. Well, I'll just listen to the podcast. Oh my gosh, can't believe it. Well, yeah. Listen, let's get you done. Let's get you out of here so you can go and hang out with your peeps because it was an exciting day on Friday at the Houston Open, and it's not over. The coverage ends quite early. There are guys near the top of the leaderboard who still have 7-8 holes to play. So things may change from the time that we are recording this to the time that this round actually ends. What will not change is that Tony Finau went out this morning and scorched earth. A 62, which tied the course record. It started off well, Patrick, 3-under through 9. He gave one back at number one, his 10th hole of the day, and then a heck of a lot of circles on the card after that. 3, 4, 6, 7 chips in for eagle on 8. Add it all up, it's a 62 with a bogey, and he has propelled himself as of this moment to the top of the leaderboard.
Yeah, and it was really you look at his round yesterday, the putter was quite bad, and then says he worked with Boyd Summerhays after the Thursday round, tweaked the setup. So it seems like they're trying to perfect that setup still. We saw the switch there at the Mexico Open, put the toe back on the ground. Hallelujah. And he's been gaining strokes on the greens ever since. And today it was really that 6-hole stretch there, going 6 under in the middle of his back nine, the front nine there at Memorial Park, and gains a stroke on the greens on 4. I think that was like a 30 footer, makes a 10 footer for par on 5. Another 30 footer on the next, and then another, and then he chips in for eagle, and there you have it, an 8-under 62. Ties the course record, like you said, which he previously had tied in 2022 in the second round as well, weird enough. And yeah, I mean, he gained, what was it, over 9 strokes on the field. It's not like it was playing easy out there at all. And it was definitely getting more difficult as the day progressed. These guys only saw really the backside of it, the back nine of their rounds. The wind really picked up. But yeah, it seems like Tony's tinkering and everything, and it kind of culminated in a really good round today.
So still golf being played, but as of this moment, there are 3 66s in the clubhouse. There are 065s, 064s, 063s, and Tony Finau's 62. So that is 4 shots better than the next best round that's complete. When he finished his round, he had gained about 8.7 strokes to the field. As things got more difficult in the afternoon, he has crept over 9 strokes to the field. Patrick, going back to the start of the 2023 season, I count 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 rounds of 9 or better strokes gained. Some notables: Wyndham Clark 60 in what became the final round at Pebble Beach earlier this year. Both of the opening round, I think they were 62s, by Xander Schauffele and Ricky Fowler at the U.S. Open.
Who could forget?
Who could forget? And then Nick Taylor's opening round, I believe it was a 60 in Phoenix.
Correct. Yep.
Those are the note, but it is this would be one of the best rounds of this season and last season.
Interesting. Interesting. Very interesting. And I think, you know, in addition to the putter, he put a new shaft in the driver. You saw ever since the PGA Tour transitioned to Florida, the off the tee numbers have been pretty bad for Tony Finau, both distance and accuracy. Said it was quite spinny. Very spinny, put a new shaft in this week, got it right, and you saw him hit the driver, you know, much better. But I mean, he's also leading the field in greens and regulation. So he's only missed 5 so far through 36 holes. And you look at someone else, one of, you know, the other big name on this leaderboard, he's hit 9 more greens and regulation than that person. So it adds up quickly. And I'm interested to see what this does for him over the weekend and kind of obviously what it does for him with the Masters. Because, Rick, do you have any explanation why once Tony Finau learned how to win, he unlearned how to compete in major championships?
No.
It's bizarre.
It's been very disappointing, right? The floodgates opened, and then there was no water to flood.
Yeah, unexplainable. First 20 major championships, he has 10 top 10s. Next 10, 0 top 10s. 3 missed cuts during both of those spans. So hopefully the uptick with the putter, you know, there's a chance this is just a flash in the pan type of round, right? Making those 30 footers, that's not really super sustainable. But yeah, we'll see. We'll see about him and his Augusta success in a couple weeks.
Yeah, well, even yesterday with no putter, he was like first in the field in ball striking. So Tony's doing something well. Wyndham Clark moved up 34 spots on the leaderboard thanks to a 2-under 68. Golf course obviously playing pretty difficult and more difficult in the afternoon. It was turbulent, Patrick. A birdie to start on hole 10, a double on 11, and a birdie on 12. So that's one way to play your first 3 holes at even par. And he went on with Smiley afterwards, and he He gave us the, not to make any excuses, but here's an excuse, the back thing. But he played obviously much better on Friday than he did on Thursday. And I don't think there's any lingering long-term concerns for Wendell Clark.
Yeah, not to throw my caddy under the bus, but he did tell me to take a little bit off that sandwich on 17. Yeah, I mean, it was a really good round outside of the three putt on number 11, his second hole of the day. You know, I think he had a par putt from about 7 feet that he missed and then compounded the error with a double bogey there. But it's, you know, this is a guy who's just a top tier player, especially in this field. And despite the injury, we've seen injuries from Scottie Scheffler and Hideki Matsuyama, and they went on to win tournaments. Why can't Wyndham Clark follow suit? So he's definitely still in it going into the weekend, and it seems like the weather is going to persist this way. It'll be interesting to see how his game holds up in the windiest of conditions, because he was on the easier side of the draw.
That is correct. Also on the easier side of that draw was a Tom Hoagie 66. So that was one of the three 66s that I referenced for already being in the clubhouse. The other two were from Steven Yeager and Chad Ramey. Hoagie's very interesting here, Patrick, because I'm not sure, I could look this up, but I'm not sure that anybody's played more golf in 2024 than Hoagie has. I mean, he has just played seemingly every single week. He in 2024, the calendar year, this is his 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11th start already. And we are, we're not even done Q1. Okay. And this is his 11th start. Now he has made 9 cuts in a row. He had a 6th place finish at Pebble Beach, an 8th at Riviera, a 12th at Bay Hill. So it has been good play as well. And now he's kind of in the mix again, just outside that top 10 heading into the weekend.
Yeah. And I think, not many people would realize the second best iron player on the PGA Tour is Tom Hoagie, of all people. So the iron play has been hot for Tommy Tables this year. Truthfully, I wasn't too keen on his chances this week. I like him on more of those dink and dunk type golf courses, like a Pebble Beach, where that iron play can let him shine. Because let's be honest, the driver really isn't that great. He's not too long and he's not too accurate. That's not a great combination. But so far this week, it's been the putter. Top 5 in strokes gained putting through the first 2 rounds. The iron play hasn't really arrived quite yet. And so if you marry those two together, hey, if the putter sticks around and the typical iron play arrives, I mean, Tommy Tables could be right in the mix come Sunday.
With one of the most annoying, no offense, results of both yesterday and today, let me introduce you to Wilson Furr, who yesterday on the pod, he had like 3 holes to go, or maybe he had more than that, and he needed to make 2 birdies to tie the lead. And I was like, no chance Wilson Furr is gonna birdie his last 2 holes to tie the lead. He does that, so he, you know, he takes away, you know, the full payout shares for first round leaders, steals that, and then he follows it up. His encore, his big encore, is to shoot a Friday 75 and try to play. So it's just like, what an annoying little 20 hole stretch that was.
No one doubts Wilson Furr. That is, yeah, that's tough. That's tough.
Golf is so bizarre, man. There's always something, there's always somebody who's doing some outrageous thing that you never expect them to do.
Yeah. I mean, that's every week. That's the beauty of the sport.
It's the beauty of the sport. The beauty of the sport is we still have the number one player in the world to talk about. We've got a couple other interesting names lurking, and we're going to get to the betting favorites. But first, we're going to take a quick break and hear a word from our partners. Did you know that more than 75% of Americans will experience foot pain in their lifetime, but only 10% will seek out a solution for that pain? Those numbers do not add up to me, and I know it can be confusing, the biomechanics of the foot, the bones, the muscles, everything in between, but solving foot pain is simple, and that's where Superfeet comes into play. These Superfeet insoles go into your shoes, give your feet comfort and support where they need it the most, and redistribute the forces that reduce both stress and strain through your entire body, not just your feet. Insoles have been phenomenal for me personally, and they are clinically proven to decrease fatigue, reduce injury, and improve comfort. I can attest to that myself, especially when walking a lot of golf holes that I play. So if you feel good, you play good, you look good, everything works out from there, and it starts from the bottom up. Visit superfeet.com and enter promo code FIRST at checkout for 15% off your first order plus free shipping. It's a really fine line creating workout clothes that are great in the gym and workout clothes that are also great to look at outside the gym. And Vuori has threaded that needle. They are designed to work out in, but they don't look like it. They don't feel like it. And it's incredibly comfortable stuff, whether you are running, training, swimming, doing yoga, running errands, lounging around the house. It really doesn't matter. These are versatile clothes. You'll find me often in the men's Sunday performance jogger because I like the jogger situation that goes on down at the bottom, but they're very comfortable. They've got a little bit of a shorter inseam, so they're not as bulky as other pants or other joggers that I have seen out there, and I've really enjoyed how they work both in and out of the gym. So now, here's what you can do for our listeners. First-time purchasers are getting 20% off. All you have to do is go to Vuori.com/first. That's Vuori.com/first. Again, not only will you receive 20% off your first order, but enjoy free shipping on any US orders over $75. And here's my favorite part, free returns. Yeah, go check it out. Vuori.com/first and discover the versatility of Vuori clothing.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the US. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
The main event in the afternoon was Scottie Scheffler, who opened with a 65 on Thursday. And Patrick, where do you want to start with this round? I could give you the good, I could give you the bad, I could give you the historic. What do you want to do here?
I like that order. Good, bad, historic.
Okay. The good is, after bogeying his first hole of the day, he made three more birdies on his front nine to offset those, turn in 33, and assert himself again as Vegas's not odds on favorite, but like favorite to win this golf tournament. Good start for Scotty.
Very good start. Number one's a very difficult hole out there. The most difficult hole at Memorial Park. Presumably, I have nothing to back that up except the eye test.
It's number two.
Oh, come on.
Pretty good. Pretty good guess though.
What's number one?
I'm clicking through. Number one is 14.
Okay. As long as it's not 18, and that might have been skewed by some late putting, I would have been very ticked off about that. But it was a great opening nine, highlighted by that chip in there on number four. I think Billy Horschel said on the happy hour that he would have been happy from just 6 feet in a similar situation. And of course, Scottie Scheffler hoops it. So it's been a lot of Scottie short game this week, it seems, so far. He doesn't quite have the iron play where he wants it to be. And we saw it there on the back nine. His full swing's not really up to snuff so far.
Scottish short game. I like that. The bad was the second nine, a bogey on 11, a bogey on 14, which featured him hitting his ball left into the penalty area, a par on the par five 16th, which featured him hitting his second shot into the water, and then a double bogey on 18, which featured a three putt from 7 feet 4 inches, which included a missed tap in from 2 feet 11 inches.
And it really wasn't that close, the tapping. Like
it wasn't close at all.
No, it almost like missed the hole completely.
Yeah, he did lip it out, but it was off the club face immediately, right?
Yeah. So you can obviously look at this from two different perspectives. Let's hash it out. Scottie Scheffler hit two balls into the water. Scottie Scheffler made a double bogey on a different hole other than those two water balls. Scottie Scheffler still shot even par today. Scottie Scheffler off the tee isn't great. Scottie Scheffler has hit 11 greens in regulation the first two rounds. That is horrible for Scottie Scheffler. Mm-hmm. Scottie Scheffler is 4 strokes back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's I don't even know if I need to hear the other perspective, but that's the one. That's kind of it has been very rare. That's the second double he has made this year. So it's been very rare that we've seen him play, quote, poorly for a stretch of 9 holes or more. This is probably the worst 9 holes of his year. And mm-hmm. It is still not even remotely close to derailing him. It's not anything like that. It's just like, oh crap, I guess I'll go probably gain 3 strokes of the field tomorrow.
Exactly. And you look at his numbers right now, outside the top 25 off the tee, outside the top 35 on approach, ball striking, he's ranked 26. And it's really the around the green game that's keeping him afloat. But that's the greatness of Scottie Scheffler. We ogle over his driving abilities and his iron play. And then it's like, oh crap, this guy also has the best hands on the PGA Tour too. And so it'll be a fun weekend. I'm trying to chase down Tony Finau, and I know he's 4 strokes back, but you got to like his chances.
The historic is that thanks to that double bogey on the last hole, including that missed putt from inside of 3 feet, Scottie Scheffler carded an even par 70, which snaps the streak, the record streak that he had going, which is 28 consecutive rounds under par, is now over. What a crappy way to end it.
Yeah, personally, like you or me, Rick, we would have never have even gotten ourselves in this position. We're smarter than that. Like who would want to shoot over under par? But it feels like it was always going to end this way for someone like Scottie Scheffler. If it was someone like, God knows, if like Siwoo Kim somehow just caught a heater, it would be a 94. It wouldn't even be close. He wouldn't even sniff. It'd be like 12 water balls in one round. And he might just walk off the course on 17, not even sign a scorecard. But for Scottie Scheffler, this streak of 28 under par rounds was always going to end with the putter misbehaving somehow, some way. And it came on the last hole, unfortunately. And you heard it on the broadcast. Brandon was like, that's the streak. That's the streak. That's the streak. Oh, my God.
I did hear that.
Yeah, it's like, oh, man. Yeah. I mean, gunning for that chair. Streak is over. It's unfortunate that it came this way, but it was always going to come down to the putter.
You said Siwoo would have walked off the court. Can I derail us for a second here?
Please.
Do you remember the last shot that Jason Kokrak hit on the PGA Tour?
Oh, man. Gosh. Let me think. Can you give me a time? Like a time of year?
No. I don't remember what. I don't even remember what event it was.
The last shot that Jason Kokrak hit on the PGA Tour. I should know this one.
I don't know if you should.
What an absurd thing to say out loud.
So I guess it was right before he was announced he was going to go to LIV, obviously. Mm-hmm. And on the last hole, he must, I don't know what he did, but he's.
Oh my gosh. Yep. The Travelers Championship.
He hit it like 20 yards over the green and just walked off.
Yep.
I almost, yep. So that popped into my brain because the other day I was on the last hole and I had a wedge and I just sculled one like 30 yards over the green, like into the woods. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I should just walk off right now and not go finish this hole, all that stuff. So that moment popped into my head. And I think that is like it's almost impossible to do because it basically requires you to retire or go to a different tour because you can't show your face again at that same tour. So there's really only like once in a lifetime moments in which you could pull off the literal walk off and he did it.
Yeah. I have a similar story. So the Charleston Muni number 9, mm-hmm. long par 4, all along the left side is the parking lot. So I'm playing with my buddy who's not very good and he hits a big slice like most beginning golfers, except this one doesn't slice. It's a rocket pool and it just rips an F-150 like the loudest bang ever. And he just goes straight to the parking lot, puts his clubs in his car and drives home.
Quietly, he's like, oh man, did you guys hear that? I hope they catch that guy.
Yeah. And the fairway is like, hey, it was fun, fellas. I'll see you guys next time.
Oh man, golf is a 6-6 sport. Akshay shot a 68 to follow up his 67 on Thursday. And this was pretty calm. He played his first 9 in 9 pars. He birdied 10. He bogeyed 15. So he stood on 16 tee, 1 birdie, 1 bogey. Then he eagled 15, played his last 2 par, and it was a very nice, tidy 2-under, and he is, as at this moment, T4.
Yeah, second straight day with a big bird, and we have seen so far this year, he kind of plays well at these wide-open golf courses. Century, he was in the final group on the final round before he lost his tee ball off the first hole. That seems like ages ago. He played well at the Farmers Insurance Open at Torrey Pines. And then he must have found a little something there at the Valspar with the top 20 finish, and he carried it over into this week. And the iron play looks really good. I mean, really everything. I'm not too familiar with how long he is off the tee typically. I don't know if you are, but he's 111th in driving distance, about 293. Is that unusual for him? Is he clubbing down a lot, or is that about par for the course?
I thought he was longer than that.
I did too.
But I don't know. But my hunch was that he was longer than that.
My hunch was the same. So maybe he's trying something else, something different off the tee. It's not gaining a ton, but it seems to be working for him and setting up his iron play enough to where he can let those clubs eat. And through 2 rounds, it's working out for him.
The problem that we have here, Patrick, and we're going to look at the betting odds in a second, but the problem that we have here is that Tony Finau in 9 under par, Akshay, Scotty, Taylor Moore, Steven Yeager, Chad Ramey in at 5 under. Joe Highsmith is still out on the golf course. He's 7 under. He's playing 15. Alejandro Tosti is 6 under, and he's got like 5 holes to go. So like this board could change.
So I have some breaking news.
Oh boy.
Joe Highsmith is in the water on 15.
The par 3.
Correct. The short one. Alejandro Tosti.
There.
Lefty. Big balloon.
Yeah. Okay.
In the water.
What did Tosti do?
Tosti is just cleaned up for bogey to drop to 5 under. So Tony Finau could have a 4-stroke lead here in a moment.
Okay. All right. Well, there you go. Instant analysis, live updates for Joe Highsmith and Alejandro Tosti. I'm sure there's no other podcast in the world providing that level of coverage.
Thank God.
Josh, yeah. It's probably because there's not a demand for it. In case there is. Show us the betting board, Josh. I imagine this is bouncing all over the place, but I imagine, yeah, there we go. So Tony Finau at this exact moment, wow, the favorite. I say wow, like Scotty's within 100 shots and he's not the favorite. Plus 185, Scottie Scheffler plus 230, nobody else shorter than 14 to 1. That is Steven Yeager. Taylor Moore and Akshay Patir are both 18 to 1. And then the gap to Thomas Dietrich at 33 to 1. So this is setting up, according to our friends over at FanDuel Sportsbook, to be a heavyweight bout of Tony Finau and Scottie Scheffler, hopefully in the final group together on Sunday. That would be pretty fun.
Mm-hmm. Hopefully. Yeah. That is probably best case scenario for the PGA Tour. I think if you want to get weird, I don't hate Taylor Moore at 18 to 1. But ultimately, I think we all know who's going to win this golf tournament.
I think you're referencing Scottie Scheffler.
At what point, Rick, we have come to the discourse with Scottie Scheffler where people who are farming for engagement on Twitter, and they're out there. I'm almost close to calling them out because it's beginning to get on my nerve. The hot take is, oh, Scottie Scheffler's not going to win this week. That's the discourse with this guy right now. As if that's the hot take.
Hot take. Very brave.
So my hot take is Scottie Scheffler is going to win at plus 230.
It is just kind of boring. No, mm-hmm. I don't know if that's the right word, because I would not be bored if Scottie won. But I also think he's probably just going to win.
It's like almost like... I don't know how to describe it. It's like watching a movie over and over and over again. You just know the ending.
A different ending.
Yeah. Is this the director's cut?
Didn't this just happen?
The extended version?
I also think this just happened one of the last two tournaments too, where there was one day where he had objectively a horrible day and he was still, and like you said, it would have been, anybody else would have been 5 or 6 over par. They would have played themselves out of the tournament. His worst days are, I mean, what was the scoring average? He beat the field average, and mm-hmm. there's like no way that he is going to make a double on one hole and hit 2 more balls into the water tomorrow.
Rick, it happens every single tournament. Here's how Saturday is going to play out. Finau is going to go 5 clear at one point.
Yeah.
Oh, it's his to win. It's over. He'll go minus money on the odds board. End of the day, Scottie Scheffler will be within 1. It happens every freaking tournament. He just pops up.
And even if here's the other scenario. Finau's 5 shots clear tomorrow night. It'll be down to 1 in the first 8 holes.
Yeah.
It happens every week.
Like it contracts so quickly when Scottie Scheffler decides he wants to kind of put his foot on the gas. Like the tournament you're referencing is API Saturday. He's walking off the 11th green. He is 5 strokes back of Will Zalatoris.
Yeah.
And he went into Sunday with the lead.
This is some of your finest work, by the way, this meme that we're showing right now.
It's evergreen. It is.
Like, and it hits it hits me right in the goods with the crossover.
It should be scheduled like 4 p.m., 5 p.m. on Saturday.
Yeah. It's so good.
It's every time.
The Dwight reaction cracks me up. He's like, oh. All right. Anything else?
I think that's it. Who's your pick? You picking Scotty?
I'm not betting either one of them, but I think Scott probably wins.
Okay.
There's just so many ways for him to get to the top. And there's like one way for everybody else to get to the top.
Yeah. It's cool to see. If you're one more thing. You see the field for next week?
It's pretty darn good.
A lot of guys looking for something.
Rory McIlroy, not kidding. about playing his way in. Homa's going to be there. Fleetwood's going to be there. I'm trying to
do Morikawa.
Morikawa's there.
Fitzpatrick.
Who else?
Ludvig.
Mm-hmm.
He'll probably win that tournament. I'm serious.
You know what would be this just absolute if they let me write the script?
Okay.
Scotty wins.
Okay.
For golf.
Mm-hmm.
Scotty wins this and will enter the Masters on a 3-event win streak. And okay. Then Rory blitzes the field next week.
Ooh.
And wins by like 8. So now we get. Yeah, there's the field.
Oh, and Russell Henley. Could you?
And Nikolai Højgaard. So,
okay.
So could you imagine getting to Masters Week? Scotty's won 3 in a row. Rahm, DJ, Brooks, Tiger, Rory trying to complete the slam, and he just blitzed by 8. I want him to win by 8. Could you imagine the tingles you will have?
Yeah, it would just make that miscut on Friday so much sweeter.
Hold on, Josh. Can you bring that back? I was looking for a specific name, but I think I was too late. Scroll to the top. Is Spieth playing this?
He must be top right.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Or alternate. Spieth wins by 8 shots and heads to the Masters with a win.
Honestly, I would much rather that scenario than Rory. No offense to Rory. It's just, it seems like Spieth has a much better chance at winning another Masters than he does.
You're absolutely insane.
What? Do you want to?
I mean, okay, what are we going to bet? That one of, this will never come, neither of
life
them will
bet. Probably win. Life one. Bet.
Yeah, this is like a 30-year wager. Who wins more Masters from here on out?
Well, I know Jordan Spieth is going to have more chances than Rory, so I like that in my favor.
I mean, maybe. There's a chance that Jordan Spieth just goes insane and retires into an island and we never see him again.
Okay. Do you think Jordan Spieth would survive on an island? Are you talking like Shutter Island? We're throwing him Leo style?
Dude, could you imagine like Survivor, but just like the golfers?
KP's playing Ruffalo?
They would never. KP's just hiding in the bushes, just like peeping.
He's his accomplice, but actually his shrink.
All right. I think we got to the end of this one. Big thanks to producer Josh, does all the hard work behind the scenes. We'll be back Saturday, Sunday for the rest of the Houston Open. That right there is Patrick McDonald. You can tweet at him. It is at PMcDonaldCBS, and you can find me at Rick Run Good. This has been The First Cut. We'll catch you next time.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.